Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship.
Yes, we are so glad you guys are here.
Thanks for hopping online with us. We are beyond excited for the chance to hang out and worship with you.
So go ahead and get comfy, hit the share button, and don't forget to throw your city in the chat. We represent Dallas, but we want you to represent too.
Now, we got a great service plan for you guys. So let's get to it. Enjoy service.
Enjoy.
Good morning, Next Gen. Good morning, Next Gen. Make some noise. If you love God, make some noise. We want to welcome you from coming to the service. We thank you for coming out to worship with us. We thank online for coming out to worship with us. I dare y'all to come down to the altar and come worship with us. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come worship with us. Come on. Come on down. There's some room. Come on. Here we go. Say,
na 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 na. Here we go. Great is the Lord, He's my conqueror. He has never failed me yet. Throughout my trials, tribulations, He will deliver. He's the greatest one. He's God.
Come on, y'all. Come on down. Come on down. Say,
great is the Lord, my conqueror.
He will never let me.
He has never left me yet. Through all my trials, tribulations, He will deliver. The greatest one. He's God.
He's my comforter. He has never left me yet. In all my days, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He's the greatest one. He's God. Help me say,
He is the Lord, my comforter.
He has never left me yet. In all my days,
I've never seen. Righteous forsaken.
He's the greatest.
The greatest
He's
one.
He's God.
He's God.
Yeah. Say, great is the Lord. He's my warrior. He has never lost one yet. The enemy comes like a flood, but He raises the standard. He's the greatest one. He's God. Help me say,
He. Great is the Lord,
yeah.
He's my warrior.
He has never lost one yet.
He has never lost one yet. The enemy comes like a flood, but He raises the standard. The greatest one,
He's God. Help us say this. See, great is. Think about it a little more.
Praise the Lord.
All my life, He's been great.
Praise the Lord.
Protecting me from days of sin and sin.
Praise the Lord.
Even when people were good to me.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Then I think about it a little more. Like that. Come on, y'all. Hey, He's just too good to just be good. Help me sing that right there.
He's just too good to just be good.
I let somebody clap those hands right there.
He's just too good to just be good.
Hey, sing great is the Lord.
Great is the Lord.
Say it.
saying,
He's just too good to just be good.
Come on, sing with y'all. He's just too good.
He's just too good to just be good.
Bounce, 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 bounce.
He's just too good to just be good.
Anybody love God today? I need to hear y'all a little louder. I say, anybody love God today? That's a little better. I'm going to ask one more time. Anybody know God is good today? Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God has just been good to you. How great He is. Sing.
You give life. You give hope.
Bring light.
You
bring light to the
dark. You give hope. You restore.
Sing
all the earth will shout your
praise.
Our hearts will cry. These bones will
sing.
Great are you, Lord.
It's your praise.
hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Let me sing that.
All the earth will shout your
praise.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Do me a favor really quick. Can we praise God together? The song says that all the earth will shout your praise. And that isn't limited to people, to human beings. The Bible says that the creation declares the glory of God. So when the tree, when the leaves blow in the wind, it's praising God because it's doing what it was created to do. When the bird sings those beautiful songs, it's praising God because it's doing what it was created to do. When that lion, when it roars, it's praising God because it's doing what it was created to do. how much more should we praise God? Oftentimes, when somebody does something nice for us, when somebody gives us something, buys us something, the first thing that comes to our mind, a lot of times, we want to reciprocate. We want to give back to that person probably more than they gave to us because we're grateful, because it was unexpected. But we don't do that with God oftentimes. Why? Because God is so good, He's so great, He's so amazing, He's so awesome that we forget. We forget. Now, when we're talking about those wow blessings, those things that blow our mind, it's easy to remember those. But I want to challenge you to do this as you stand and we prepare to give. Everybody stand on your feet. And as you're standing, I want you to think about just the basic, the necessities of life that God gives you every single day. Breath in your lungs, a place to stay, a warm house when it's cold outside. Because I guarantee you, there are some people around the world that would trade their life for your spot. So much so that every day there's people coming from other countries trying to get here because they want your spot. They would give anything to get your spot. There are some people at your school that would trade anything for your spot. There are some people in this room that would trade for your spot. So right now, in this moment, I want us to think about the things that God has done for us, how good He is to us. And this week, even get a notebook and chronicle the blessing that God bestows on you every day. So as we're giving, we're thinking about how good God is. And as we're giving, we want to reciprocate that blessing back to God and give to the work of God.
What's up, Next Gen Youth?
Let's get into the real in Next Gen. Calling all girls. We're going back to the Therefore Conference this year. We had such an amazing time last year with our peers as we experienced God together with hundreds of other young ladies from around the world. We're taking 25 girls this year. We will be staying at a hotel near the host church. The cost for this event is $50 and sign up begins today.
Young men, we have some great things in store for you. We'll be taking some of you to the Mavs versus Bucks game in February, and it will be first come, first serve. So stay tuned for more details.
Ladylike girls, right after service, do not forget to pick up your book and your ladylike info at our pink table.
If you like taking photos or interested in learning film, this may be the ministry just for you. Next Gen Film and Photography team has just begun, so please sign up today to be a part. Calling all creative arts teams, Next Gen Creative Arts Mandatory Workshop is coming up March 9th, and it's mandatory. This is for media, mime, step, drama, photography, worship, and dance. So see Miss Natalie for more details.
Do you love to sing? Because I can't, okay? We're forming a new worship team for our 8 a.m. service. It begins today. If you're interested, please see Miss Natalie after service for next steps.
To stay connected and updated on all things Next Gen Youth, make sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok here at OCBF Next Gen Youth and text at OCBFY to 81010 to join us on Remind. Lastly, y'all, please keep your phones and your earphones away as we continue to worship our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's all for our announcements.
Hope y'all enjoy service.
Peace.
Let's go, man. Number one, HEAT. HEAT stands for Higher Education Action Team. That's all things next level, college, scholarships, PSAT, SAT, college prep, all those kinds of things. There is a meeting today right after service. So make sure you tell your parents there's a meeting, a HEAT meeting today, immediately after service, okay? Secondly, if you are in Fuse, our student leaders, we are having our first Fuse class next Sunday at 9 a.m. in the music room. We're going to continue our study of the Gospel of Matthew, and it's open to anybody. If you want to just come alongside of us and as we study the Word of God together, you're more than welcome to join us at 9 o'clock. Just bring your Bible and come enjoy it. And then lastly, the Therefore Conference. Are there any ladies in the room? Ladies, make some noise. Woo! Okay, there we go. All right, Therefore Conference is a teen gathering for the girls. I believe we have some couple of people on the committee. Is Blake in here? Okay. Oh my goodness. Why? Ella, stand up. You have to stand up. Oh, where's Victoria? Victoria's here too. She's on the committee too as well, right? Okay, so they're here. They are part of the committee of the Therefore Teen Conference. It's annually, right? And it's going to be a very fun trip. If you remember Kelly Justice, they went last year and they really enjoyed it. And so we want to invite you girls to go. There's only 4 more spots left. Okay, so make sure you see Miss Candace if you want to sign up and be a part of that great move of God. Okay.
What's up, high school? It's Mr. Isaac. And before we dive into the word, I want to give us a quick recap, quick review to remember and recall what we've learned previously. This month's theme is identity. And that's a good place to start this year, understanding and remembering who we are in the context of God's grand story. God's story can be divided into 4 great acts: creation, fall, redemption, and renewal. And so we started with creation, the fact that we were created in God's image, which means we are all special, no matter what the color of our skin is, no matter the background, we are all special and significant. We are all a work of art because we were created by the greatest artist of all time, God Himself. And so we were created to image Him, to represent Him on earth. And just as He's king over the universe, He created us to be kings and queens. So we are royal just because we were created. But then we talked about the fact that we are fallen. And we looked at Genesis 3 and we saw the beginning of that, how sin entered into the world and corrupted humankind. And you all remember the TV show, the popular slogan of that elderly woman who said, "I've fallen and I can't get up." And that's an accurate description of humanity. We're all fallen and we cannot get up. But thank God for Jesus Christ, who came to save us, to pick us up. And that's what we're going to talk about today, being redeemed in Christ, being restored, so that we, like Romans 8 says, can be conformed to the image of the Son. And so let's dive into the word. I want everybody to stand up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. And let's clap our hands for PJ, Pastor Jonathan, who's going to bring us the word today. Let's go.
What's up? Everybody doing good? All right, I'm going to jump right in. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then I want y'all to key in to the message that the Lord gave me. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, we love you and honor you. Give you the praise and glory for who you are. If you don't do anything else, you've already done enough by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Help us to believe it, but then live it. We love you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. What school districts we got in here? Cedar Hill, Duncanville, that's where I graduated. Where else we got? Mansfield. Who? We got Mansfield? I live in Mansfield. Okay, good. So I got Cedar Hill. I ain't heard Lancaster. Waxahachie. Okay, listen to me. I got a simple question for you. If I had on a Cedar Hill Letterman jacket on, but I went to Duncanville, what would you say to me? Traitor. Why you got that on? If I had on a Duncanville Letterman, but I went to Mansfield, what would you say? Does that make sense to you? So you would assume that what I wore and my commitment would be connected, right? You would assume that what I look like and where I go spend my time, there would be some congruency. You wouldn't assume, it's illogical to think that somebody would have on a Duncanville Letterman but go to Lancaster. You would look at him and say, bro, what you doing? How you gonna rep something you ain't committed to? So I would assume that your life would look like your commitment. It's just an assumptive variable that when somebody sees you, they ought to be able to automatically tell who you're committed to. Because the same assumption you make about a letterman jacket in a school is the same assumption that should be made about your life and your belief. Today, I want to talk to you from the title, What Do You Have On? I want to figure out what your drip is, not just for this life, but actually for your destiny. And I want you to pay attention now, because you got to key in for these few minutes, because I'm just going to give you one verse. And in this one verse, you're going to find all that you need to actually put on what's necessary to carry the identity that's needed for the destiny that you have or that you want. Okay, so in Genesis 3:21, if you have your Bible app, whatever it is, you can turn there. This will be a verse that you could teach your parents later, because they probably don't know it. It's probably a verse that you've never seen, even though you've understand the account of Genesis 3, but you need to know this one, because this is the redemptive one. Genesis 3:21, it says this: the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Okay? The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. I want you to say it with me. The Lord God made garments of for Adam and his and the Lord God made garments of for Adam and his and clothed them. You know what this tells me about God? He's a designer. God is a designer who actually cares about what you're wearing. He's a designer that actually cares about what you have on. How do I know that he's a designer? Because in Genesis 3:21, he was not clothing them because they were naked. He was clothing them because he didn't like what they were wearing. They already had on fig leaves. In Genesis 3:7, they put on fig leaves. But in Genesis 3:21, he says, I'm going to put garments of skin on you, bro, because I don't like what you're wearing. What you're wearing is not congruent to where this thing is going. So God had to change their clothes. Okay, when I go out with my wife, I come out of my closet and I'm dressed, and my wife quickly gives me this look right here. Soom, soom. And it happens real fast. Okay, she looks me up and down, and it happens real fast, and she's got it. From head to toe, she's already psychoanalyzed everything that I have on, and this right here. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. And ladies in here know, they already got you. If you liked a girl, and you like, why she ain't looking at me, why she ain't paying attention, it's because she already done seen you, bro. I'm just letting you know, when you came into the room, she said, and she was done. She's already memorized it from head to toe. She ain't got to look again. So you can't wait no more. You got to just approach. My wife had already seen me. Anytime I come out the closet, it's here, right here, and she's already there. And I get one or two responses. One response is, oh, yeah, okay, I like what you got on. She's smiling with one set of teeth. That means it's a true smile. But sometimes when I come out the closet, she shows teeth, but it's two sets of teeth, and it ain't no smile. It look like this right here. That ain't no smile. And then she backs it up when she sees me. She goes, is that what you're wearing? Now, that ain't no question. That ain't a question. It's posed like a question, but that's a statement. When she gives me this look right here and says, is that what you're wearing? What is she saying? You need to change. One day I hit her and I said, well, what's wrong with what I got on? She's like, we go into this steakhouse. We like to go to steakhouse at least 12 times a year. We go into this 5-star steakhouse, and you got on a sweatsuit. She said, this is what she said. She said, your wardrobe don't match this reservation. So you need to change your clothes. What she was saying is your design don't match the destination. She was saying the covering don't match the calling. You need to change your clothes. And what I'm here to say is Ephesians 2:6 says you are already, if you believe, seated with him in heavenly places. That is the reservation. So if you're already seated with Jesus, then why your life look like junk? What God is saying is that what you're wearing? You need to change your clothes. Because just because you look good in the environment doesn't mean you look good for where I'm taking you. And so here in Genesis 3:21, he's like, I need to give you the drip of the destiny, not just the fashion of the environment to make you feel like you're covered when you're uncovered. A lot of us struggle with spiritual schizophrenia. You won't allow it to happen with your friends. You won't allow it to happen in your crew. You won't allow it to happen where somebody says they believe something, but you always watch them do the opposite of what they believe. Now, if you had a friend who always told you something, but always did something that was the opposite of what they believe, what would you think about them? they ain't serious, or they're crazy, or something must be aloof, or something must be off. And here we have a generation of people who literally will tell you, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the death and resurrection. I believe that he saved me from sin, but I believe all that. But when they watch you, all they're seeing is a Letterman jacket that don't match this Christian school you're supposed to be claiming. So we allow it in life. We allow it in our faith, but we'll never allow it culturally. You'll never hang out with anybody who basically has something coming out of their mouth and another thing coming out of their life. You were like, bro, I can't give you none of my time. And so a lot of us are praying to God for a destiny and a purpose, and you're trying to get God to be a genie in a bottle to take you higher, but at the same time, he watching you wear a Letterman that don't connect with what you just said you believe. And you want me to grant you what? You got to get your life right first. And so he's saying to Adam and Eve's in the room, he's letting you know that we can't roll like this. We've got to do something a little bit different. We can't keep claiming a belief in Jesus, but your outfit look like junk every day when you at school. There's something off about that. Now you got to understand that here he is preparing to reclothe them because they put on fig leaves. But why did they put on fig leaves? I'm asking. Louder, I'm up here. Sin. Somebody say that. Genesis 3:7 says their eyes were open and they realized they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. But you was already in your birthday suit before the sin. So I'm trying to figure out, why is it now that your eyes are open to a fact that you already were? Why is it now that now you're seeing what already was? Why is it now that you feel uncovered when you were already uncovered? Because young people, you got to understand that there is a covering that exists in obedience that vacates in disobedience. See, when you're obedient, you don't have anything to really worry about. You don't have to live a life of looking over your shoulder. You don't have to live a life of wondering, what are the consequences of my act I just did? You don't have to live a life of, oh, I'm looking at something I shouldn't look at. My parent just walked in, soup. You don't have to live a life of trying to hide through the context of obedience. But once they ate the fruit and disobedience was complete, all of a sudden their eyes were open that they were uncovered. So they must have been covered when they were naked and still felt uncovered when they were covered. When they put on fig leaves, they still felt uncovered. When they were naked, they felt covered. What's the difference? Obedience, you have God's covering. And disobedience, you have your covering, and that one's not good enough. So this is why many of us are living a life of fear and living a life of looking over my shoulder and living a life of hiding and living a life of how can I get away with this and living a life of how can I do what I want to do with nobody catching me and living a life of I hope they don't see me and I hope I can get away and hope I... You're living a life that is totally uncovered. Why? Because your covering only exists in the context of obedience. That's why the Bible says in Luke 28, blessed are those who hear my word and keep it. That's where the blessing is. That's why Job 26:6 tells us, and it lets you know, destruction has no covering. There's no covering there. You on your own. If you want to be God, which Adam and Eve did, made their own decision apart from God, then you have to cover yourself. Good luck with that. Proverbs 5:22 says, the wicked are bound and ensnared by the cords of their own sin. So the covering that you want and that you want to feel and the security that you need is bound up in the context of obedience. So God let him do it. When I have a son named Camden. Camden is kind of the, we call him Spider Cam. He's the wild one in the family. He just ain't happy unless he's running in the walls trying to fight his dad, beating up his brother. He's just wild. He just swings from chandeliers all day. That's what he do. When Camden was 22 months, he about 20 months, I was trying to hold his hand going down the stairs. I said, come on, Camden, let's go. Let's trek down these stairs. And I knew I needed to hold his hand because I knew his legs was too short for this journey. I knew that once he takes one step off one step, before that foot hits that step, the other foot already done come off the second step. So he gonna topple over. So I said, hold my hand. And Camden did this here. He said, I don't know what he said, but it was rude. What he was saying was, what was he telling me? Let me go. I got it. Dad, I can do it by myself. I know I'm 20 months and can't talk, but I got it. I know you're still changing my diaper, but I can roll with these steps right here. And so I said, Camden, you can't, bro, come on now. Hold on to my hand. Let's take this journey. As we get further down, he's still. I says, hey, bro, don't talk to me like that. I don't know what you're saying, but you're about to get spanked. But because he was so persistent that he wanted to be his own sovereignty and his own dad, you know what I did? I let him go. That's what he was asking for. I let him go. Now, for all of you future social workers in the room, I waited until he got to the last step because I knew where this was going. I let his hand go. He took that step, and just like I said, his front foot didn't touch the ground before his back foot came off, and he landed right on his chest. All the wind got knocked out of him. Then what do you think he started doing? And I'm over here like, and then you know what he did? He turned back to me, raised his hands, started crying. It looked like worship. I ain't never seen a kid worship like that. He raised his hands, and what do you want me to do? Pick me up, Daddy. Why does it take you experiencing what it is to be uncovered for you to act like you need your daddy? Why you gotta wait until something is broken for you to realize you never need to let go of your father's hand? Why does it always be, I gotta experience something bad for me to go where I already knew I should be? Adam and Eve are in this position right now where they walked away from their covering and now they're trying to regain a covering they already had. Stay where you know you should be. And here they are in Genesis 3:7, covering themselves in the fig leaves. I need you to understand that it doesn't matter what you put on. You can wear Gucci. But if you ain't Gucci with God, you ain't good. If you don't have the covering from God, you will always be living a life of looking over your shoulder, because in the identity is his covering. I played in the NFL for 5 years. I can tell you, I played for the Buffalo Bills. They about to play today. I'm kind of a side fan of the Buffalo Bills because I played there. I know. I can't help it. That was my old team. Quit hating. I'm a Cowboys fan, but since I can't be that right now, I got to transition to some other thoughts. So I'm going for Baltimore and Buffalo. Those are my two, Baltimore and Buffalo. But I need you to understand something. When I was in the league, I used to go over a player's house. He was a wide receiver drafted in the first round, and they used to have poker nights. And I was smart because I just made sure I was the dealer. I didn't gamble because I didn't have enough money because I was barely on the team. And these dudes was just stacks of hundreds. This dude got paid $250,000 a week. And so that was his lifestyle. So they just got stacks of hundred all over the table. And like, Jonathan, deal the cards. So I'm dealing the cards and all that. And I was smart because I just got tips. I didn't have to gamble. I just walked out with $1,000 a night. It's perfect because I got tips. But one day when all of them left, he said, John, let me ask you a question. You a man of God, right? I said, yeah. He said, I got it all, but I feel like I have nothing. What's that about? He said, how is it that you can walk in my garage and see Bentleys and Ferraris and all of those different things? I got this 7,000 square foot house. I got all of this going on. I got diamond chain. I got everything that I saw on TV. I went and got that. But at the same time, Jay, I got a hole in my heart so big you can drive a Mack truck through it. What is that about? I said, until you get your covering and your identity rooted in your creator, you'll always be chasing after something. And like someone going to the beach, you can grab sand, but only to watch the sand escape from your fingers to have to pick it up and grab it again. It's meaningless. And here Adam and Eve are trying to figure out how to cover themselves in the world. And they hid themselves. Let me show you. In Genesis 3, we have here in verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and among the trees of the garden. So you covered in hiding. You went to the environment to try to figure out how to be cool, how to be popular, how to catch this fad, how to post this. You done set up a separate account to go like your other account so you can feel significant. I'm just saying. Whatever I can do, let me go get that. But the whole time they went and got the environmental fig leaves, they were also simultaneously hiding from God. You can be seen by man, but just because you're seen by man doesn't mean you're seen by God. You can be known by man, but just because you're known by man doesn't mean you're known by God. Man can look at you with one set of teeth and say, yeah, I like that, bro. At the same time, God has given you two sets of teeth talking about what you got on. Just because you're getting applauded on earth does not mean you're not getting booed in heaven. They don't ride on the same team. They don't ride on the same wavelength. You're chasing after fig leaves, and the whole time God is like, I see what you're doing. I see where you're going. I see what you're wrapping yourself with. I see what your crew is. I see how you talk. I see how you roll. I see where your mindset is. I see what you're trying to get from her or him. I see what you're doing. And while that's cool out there, man, I'm booing you in heavenly places. So while you're coming to me for your purpose and your destiny and God, take me higher. I really want to go where you have me and call me. I'm watching your drip, and your drip don't feel this destiny. So the answer to your prayer is no. Okay. I told you we go to steakhouses. We probably go 12 times a year. It's going to be a 5-star steakhouse. I work hard. I want to eat good steak. I'm grown. Y'all will get there in a minute. But my kids want to go too. No. Now, you ain't gonna make it. You ain't gonna make it. Number one, you ain't climbed that ladder yet. You gotta work on that. So this is a little bit of a good old boy system. But number two, how you gonna ask to go to a 5-star steakhouse when you got 1-star table manners? I mean, you ain't even ready. You are 1-star at the table. You eat on your plate like this. You got all your elbows on the table. You know, you smacking food falling out your mouth. You just, and then you're looking at me like, hey, daddy, can I go to the 5-star steakhouse with you? No. You got a 1-star lifestyle and asking God in your prayers for a 5-star destiny. No. I don't like what you got on. And y'all don't even, I don't know about y'all, but my kids, they want to wear sweats. They don't even want to wear jeans. I'm like, y'all don't like jeans? I don't know, I'm asking. Jeans all right? I mean, that. I'm like, you don't even want to wear jeans and you asking me about this 5-star? The commitment doesn't match the request. God is not a genie in a bottle. He does not exist for you. You exist for him. He is not a step stool that you step on so that you can get higher in your life. It don't work like that. He's like, does your outfit, life, fit the destiny that he's calling you to, but that you want? And Adam and Eve, listen, are blending into their environment. Uh-oh. Adam and Eve, when they put on fig leaves, they didn't put on a true covering. They just put on a camouflage. They wanted to have the perception of righteousness, not the reception of righteousness. They wanted to be perceived a certain way that they weren't. If you are camouflaging yourself into your environment, that simultaneously means you're not ruling it. Adam and Eve were created to do what over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and everything? Rule. You can't fit in and rule at the same time. You can't tell me you're on top and in between and at the same time. It don't work like that. And many of us find our solace. We find ourselves. We think we're doing something when we're camouflaged in the audience and not on top of it with my purpose, ruling it with what God is telling me to do. No, I don't go there. I don't do that. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm growing. This is where I'm going. This is where God is taking me. I've got an assignment on my life and I believe it. I don't even know what the assignment is, but I believe there's a God calling on my life. So I'm not going to blend in. I'm going to give in to what God is telling me. See, they would rather blend in than give in. They went to the environment that they offended God in instead of going to the God that they offended in that environment. You can't get your life. You can't get righteousness. You can't attain what God has for your life in the environment that's offensive to him. You can only attain it by repentance and going to God with an unveiled face and saying, I am totally yours. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to take me? What's next? What do I do? How do I talk? How do I walk? What do I post? How are you going to use me? And if it's not that, I'm not doing it. And people say, well, I'll do that when I grow up. You don't even know that you're going to get to grow up. If you're 15 and your death date is when you're 20, you old. I'm 42. If my death date is when I'm 100, then I'm younger than the 15-year-old whose death date is at 20. You don't know you young. You just made that up. Your age is not based on your birth. Your age is based on your death. And you don't know when that's coming. So stop wasting your time and get to it. Adam and Eve was wasting their time. Let me cover up. Let me figure out what this fad is. Let me figure out where, you know what I'm saying? Let me get this. Let me get that. Let me get that. And Solomon says, I'm the richest dude who ever lived and ever will. And it's all meaningless unless you glorify God and enjoy what he's called you to do. That is the identity you get clothed in. And until you figure that out, I had a dog named Solomon I grew up with. He was a toy poodle, not by my selection. I had two sisters. If it was me, it'd have been a Rottweiler or a pit bull or something like that. But I didn't have no say because I was the baby of the house. Solomon was afflicted to me. You know why? Because Solomon would run around in circles chasing his own tail. I'd be like, bro, your mouth is on your face and your tail is on your rear end. You weren't created to catch that. You ain't going to catch that. So I'm 10 years old looking at this dog like, this dog is dumb. I come home maybe 6 months later and Solomon is growling in the back room. So I thought maybe we got a new poodle and he's mad because he's, you know, got to share stuff. I go back into the room. Well, he caught his tail. He did. He was doing this. Jumping around in circles. And I said, man, yo, this dude caught his tail. How is that possible? After about 30 seconds, you know what he did? He had to let it go because it was too uncomfortable for him to stay in a position he wasn't created to be in. And after he let that thing go, you know what he started doing again? He kept doing it. Dadgummit, I was 18 years old. Dog still chasing his tail. 8 years done went by, you in the same spot. Going round in circles and ain't catching nothing. But every now and then, he would catch it and he would satisfy his intent only for 30 seconds because it was too uncomfortable for him to be in the position he was never created to be in. And every now and then, young people, you'll catch your tail. Every now and then, you'll get the shoes, you'll get the girl or the guy, you'll make the business deal, you'll get the money, you'll get like the football player. I got the house, I got Bentleys. I done caught my tail, but why do I have a hole in my heart so big I can drive a Mack truck through it? Because you weren't created to be in that position, bro. That's why. And what do we do when you catch it? Oh, I got it. That felt good. Let me get that dopamine hit again. All the while, now you're 15, but now you're 40 and you're still in the same place. You was 13 or 14, 15, whatever y'all is. I know it's R, whatever y'all is. And then you grow up and you look at your life and you're like, I ain't done nothing. I ain't went nowhere. Because I've been carrying a false identity thinking it was a covering and all it was a camouflage. And the whole time I spent my life hiding from God, trying to be cool with you. And here Adam and Eve, they got their fig leaves on. Now, why did they choose fig leaves? Let me tell you. Fig leaves are big leaves. Okay? Fig leaves are strong leaves. Fig leaves are valuable. They even use those in the marketplace today in different countries. You go to the farmer's market, they will put your produce in a fig leaf and wrap it up and give it to you. So fig leaves can hold fruit. I mean, they're strong leaves. So they went and found the biggest, the strongest, the most valuable. And fig leaves have a good aroma. You know, green, when you go into a greenhouse or something, fig leaves give that aroma off of this is natural, this is clean, this is good. So they went and got the cleanest, the best aroma, the biggest, the most valuable, the strongest. They did then what we do now. If I can get the most valuable, the most money, the biggest stuff, if I can feel like I have some strength around me, if I can at least even smell good, maybe I am good. But 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "For we are the aroma of God, for we are an aroma to God of Christ." That means if the aroma that you're portraying is not connected to Christ, it may smell good to them. It stinks to him. So they did all of that to cover themselves, and it was not a covering. It was just a camouflage that would fool man but would not fool God. You're getting one. Adam and Eve looked at each other like, okay, I like that. God said, is that what you're wearing? I need y'all to understand this whole commitment we have to culture, that culture is not committed to you. It's not. You know what they do? Oh, that was a nice post. Swipe. They go on to the next just like you. They will swipe up on you so fast. Okay, as the chaplain, let me explain this to you. As the chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys, I've been the chaplain 12 years. That last playoff game was not my fault. That was coaching. It wasn't my chapel service. I prayed hard and they were listening, or maybe they weren't. But in 2000 and, I don't remember, maybe it was 13, something like that. They're about to get on a plane at 10 in the morning to go play the Cincinnati Bengals. So I go to get on the plane. I used to go to every game, home and away, all of those kind of things. So I'm getting on the plane. And as I'm going up the plane, the head coach at the time was Jason Garrett. He's coming down the plane. He grabs my arm as I'm coming up, and he pulls me back down to the tarmac. And so I'm thinking, you about to cut the chaplain? I didn't know I can get cut. I didn't know what was happening because he pulled me back down to the tarmac. And he says, he looks me in the eyes and he doesn't blink. And he says, this morning is 10 a.m. when he's talking to me. At 3 a.m., he said, at 3 a.m., we had two players get in a car accident. One of them passed away. Jerry Brown Jr. So I'm locked in like this. And he says, so this is what you the chaplain. So this is what you do. So I need you to get on the plane and do something. So I'm nervous. I don't know what's going on. I get on the plane. These big, rich dudes crying. They got to go play a game anyway. Like, they going to play a game. So they're crying. So I say, okay, everybody take a knee. So from Jerry Jones all the way to the back of the plane, everybody took a knee. Because when mortality kicks in, all you can do is look up. All of a sudden, everybody focused on God when mortality kicks in. And so I prayed for them on the plane, went around hugging guys. But we it's the NFL. You got a game to play. So we go to the hotel. And I'm like, what am I going to preach? Because I prepared something, but it ain't got nothing to do with them losing a teammate that they cared about all of a sudden. So we get to chapel service, and I just preach the gospel. I said, when a seed falls, something should come alive. Players that never come to chapel came to chapel. Seven players accepted Christ. It was a good moment. But this is what hurt my feelings. This is what I'm telling you. When we got to the game, stood on the line, national anthem, flew the planes over. And then they said, let's give a moment of silence to Jerry Brown Jr. All right, dun, 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 dun. It's time to play a football game. Fans. I looked at D. Ware, who's a Hall of Famer now. I said, so everything you've done with the Cowboys, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame? You know what we're going to give you after you die? We're going to give you 20 seconds of silence. Good luck, play hard. I looked at Maurice Claiborne, had 7 picks on the season, was getting ready to go to the Pro Bowl. I said, you did a great job this season, 7 picks. But when you leave this earth, you know what these fans going to give you? A moment of silence, and they're going to move on and watch the next game. You know what people do? Thank you. Appreciate all you did for the world. Next. And you living for the, I told both of them boys, I said, so bend over. This is a preaching point. You can live for a moment of silence, or you can live for the King who holds your eternity. Now you choose your investment. I'm swiping up on you, bro. I care less about you. And that's what you're doing? You setting up separate accounts so you can like yourself? I'm swiping up on you. It's 8 billion people on earth. Don't nobody know you here? You this big. And God knows how many hairs are on your head? And you mean to tell me you living for the world? You a bad investor. What investor invests in a stock that they know up front gonna fail? You know up front this life gonna fail. You know up front people gonna leave you, backstab you, not care about you, and dismiss you when you leave this earth. And that's your stock? You putting stock in that? It don't make no sense. But the enemy is so powerful, isn't it? He's so powerful that he'll make us dumb. Yeah, invest in that. Yeah, that's where you want. That's what you want. Go get that. Yeah, be the guy. Be the girl. Be the. When you transfer, okay, she gone now. What are we doing next? You don't even have to leave the earth. You can just leave the school. We done moved on. That's your investment? That's what Adam and Eve did. Let me go to this environment. Let me clothe myself. I'm sure I can get. You can have on Gucci, but if you ain't Gucci with God, you ain't good. It doesn't even matter. And here they are trying to figure it out on their own. And by virtue of figuring it out on their own, they were hiding from God. The two things happen simultaneously. When you're figuring it out on your own, covering yourself in the environment and the world, you are simultaneously hiding from God because you can't have God and the world at the same time. Let a double-minded man think that he's going to receive something from me. He ain't getting nothing from me. Because your drip ain't right. Your life is junk and you claiming Jesus. What school is that? Where is your identity really at? Okay. Adam and Eve's eyes were open because they sinned. So sin gave them recognition. They were created for the opposite and they went back to try to go get it. Okay. Some C.S. Lewis type stuff, so stick with me. If you feel purposeless, that is a key identifier that purpose exists. You cannot feel purposeless unless the opposite is true. Purpose has to exist for me to. If you feel depressed, that means happiness is a thing, or you wouldn't know depressed was a feeling. If you know you're in darkness, that means you know what exists. Light. Because you wouldn't even know what dark was unless light was a real thing. Does a fish know it's wet? No. It only knows it's wet if it's experienced what it means to be dry. They gained recognition because of sin. Oops, I was created for righteousness. Let me go find it. Immediately when they sinned, their eyes were open. Oh, I was created for the opposite. Let me go get that. How many of you wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to figure out how I can be a worse person today? I got to be bad today, as bad as I can be, boy. That's what I'm trying to get them privileged. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get my parents to unlock this phone. Nobody says that. Why? How do you know? Why can't you just steal? Who made this morality thing up? Why does it exist? Well, because you were created in the image of righteousness. And because you were created in the image of God, and God is righteous, then you do what it takes to at least be perceived as righteous. The problem was they went for the perception of righteousness and not the reception of righteousness. So it's good that you realize you're supposed to be good. It's bad that you try to be good in places that are bad. The culture can't give you what God can give you. It just doesn't work. You're 13 now, 14 now, 15 now. Not for long. Time's coming, and time don't wait for nobody. I remember sitting in your seat. Now I'm 42 with 5 kids and a fine wife. I know she's standing right back there. I can't help it. When I saw her, I was like, oh, yeah, I made it. So in light of all this, I'm about to be done. In light of all of this, what did God do? What did God do? Bro, listen. What did God do? He clothed them with garments of skin. There you go. Now we talking. Now y'all probably looking at me like, what does that have to do with anything? God is a beast. Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus is flooded through the Old Testament. Here's my question for you. If you know the answer, if you're my kid, you probably know it because I teach you at the table. But I want to ask y'all. Jesus clothed them with garments of skin. Where he get them skins from? See, this is how you have to think. You can't just read the Bible like a novel. You got to stop and ask questions. When you go ask questions, then you research, find answers. Where God, okay, they clothed them with leaves. They were there. But God clothed them with garments of skin. Okay, let me help you. Genesis 2:17. Adam, the day you eat from this tree, you will surely die. Did Adam die the day he ate from the tree? Now, I know spiritual death, yes, separation. The wages of sin is physical death. You're going to die physically. He said, the day you eat from this tree, you will die. The day God holds to his promises. So he lied? No, he didn't lie because God don't lie. So the day he ate from the tree, Adam didn't die. But then he clothed him in garments of skin. Tell me where he got the skins from. Animal sacrifice. The first sacrifice in the Bible happened in Genesis 3. Between Genesis 3:7 and Genesis 3:21, God sacrificed a perfect animal because it was a perfect garden, a sacrificial lamb, because something had to die for sin in order for Adam and Eve to keep living. The first Jesus motif you run into in Scripture is right here at the first sin. Because when there's sin, there needs to be salvation or you're dead. That is the rule of God. And so what God clothed them in was the sacrifice, so they would never forget that the only reason you get to keep walking, even though it's outside this garden, is because I've slaughtered something on your behalf. Welcome, Jesus Christ, who is the sacrificial lamb from Genesis 3. Who is the sacrifice that gives you life? And he's saying, and you gonna walk around after that animal was sacrificed, after Jesus Christ gave his life? You mean to tell me I'm supposed to let you, as the great designer, walk on with the world's drip? You need to put on Jesus. Galatians 3:27, all those who are baptized have put on Jesus. Colossians 3:12 says you need to put on compassion, kindness, humility. You need to put on patience. Anything that represents Jesus Christ, that's what your life need to look like. Because when people see you, they need to know that the only reason why this dude lives is because Jesus died. Why would I give my life to anything else? I know it may not be cool to come to church and worship, but you won't understand the sacrifice. I know it may not be cool to sit in the front. You'd rather sit in the back. I know you'd rather talk, rather hang out with your friends, rather text, rather be on social media. You do not understand the level of sacrifice. You will one day, but my hope is today you're saying, I'm not trying to let my time run out, and the people I was doing it for, they could care less anyway. Why am I being a bad investor? Why don't I invest in the one who totally, by life sacrifice, invested in me? By the way, he's the only one who knows your destiny anyway. You can't see where you're going. He's already seen it. He knows that your steps are ordered. So it's up to you. The word has been given. The opportunity is yours. It depends on whether you like peers more than you like your own purpose. That's on you. Did y'all hear the word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and honor you. We give you the praise and glory for who you are. Thank you for teaching us that what we have on needs to match the sacrifice that was done for us so that we could live. Help us to not move on without you. Help us to not count it as more joy to live like junk than to live for Jesus. We love you and we give you the glory and honor today. And all God's people said,
man, that was some good word right there.
I know, I'm ready to put it into action in my life, and we want to encourage you to do the same.
There's so many gems in that message, so take what stood out to you and see how you can apply it to your life this week.
Let's pray before we go. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us this word today, and please help us to apply it to our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in with us. Make sure to log on next week at 11 a.m. Central. Till then, have a great week. God bless.
God bless.